what are some defined contribution plan tips? So when you're dealing with defined contribution accounts, I'm talking about 401ks, 403bs, 457bs, deferred compensation accounts. One of the mistakes that I think clients and attorneys make is they only ask for an account statement from date of separation, and then, you know, they see, you know, $100,000 and they say, okay, well, that's how much was in that account at date of separation. There you go. It is presumed, but not that presumption can be overcome. It's presumed that transactions during the marriage are community property transactions that benefit the community. But it's completely conceivable that someone could see that their marriage is ending and then do some nefarious transactions, such as let's just roll some of this 401k out into an IRA account and then not disclose the IRA account, you know, 6 months before date of separation, or let's take a loan out and, you know, just tuck that money aside to, you know, do whatever. And if you don't look at the account statements prior to date of separation, you're not going to know that. And then, you know, you're not going to be able to bring that up to a judge. Let's say there was a $50,000 sort of withdrawal from a 401k a month before date of separation that was used to, you know, pay for that diamond ring for the new girlfriend they have on the side, right? That's obviously not a community property transaction, and that needs to be added back in to the 401k, mathematically speaking, before you do the division for an equitable, you know, division between the spouses. But if you don't ask for that information, you're never going to see it, and you're just going to miss it completely. It's also important to note that oftentimes there's a lot of confusion regarding transactions, regarding loans, which I think I'll talk about in a separate segment. But, you know, anytime you have these cash outs, transfers, loans, you got to ask, number one, what was this for? Was this to pay off community credit cards, and it's a community transaction? And then the second question you need to ask is, when did the transaction take place? So if it took place after date of separation, it is assumed under the law that it was a separate property transaction and it should only be charged against the account holder. Okay, so there's a lot of confusion that, you know, you look at a statement as of the date of judgment, or you look at a statement as of date of separation, and you just assume that's the end of the analysis, right? But you gotta ask yourself, well, what sort of transactions took place in between? Oftentimes when you're getting divorced, you know, there's a lot of money movement around. You got to get new apartments. When you're moving out of the family residence, you got to hire family law attorneys, all things that cost money. And if the money's not in the bank account, oftentimes parties seek out loans or early withdrawal distributions from retirement accounts. And so if you are not paying attention to those transactions, and this is for the account holder and the non-account holder, really important, then you could possibly be double paying your ex or double charging your ex for a transaction that really, had you just taken the time to identify this transaction after date of separation is community, or this transaction before date of separation is separate, should be charged against the account holder or should be charged jointly. You can avoid a lot of those mathematical errors that sometimes they're tens of thousands of dollars, and you don't realize them until after the fact. And then it costs, you know, three times the amount of money for your forensic CPA or quadro attorney to sort of unravel that mess. And oftentimes you just end up over or underpaying your ex, and that's the end of it. And it's too bad, so sad, because the family law attorneys are all gone and you got a stubborn ex. Another thing to keep in mind with 401k and 457b and 403b accounts is there is a cash out exception that is available under IRS code to T to C. That essentially, if you're under 59.5, you can cash out money without penalty. Not without taxes, however. You know, the canned thing I always tell my clients is, you know, I don't care if you're 20 years old or 120 years old. If you cash out money from your 401k pursuant to a quadro, there are no penalties. So that 10% penalty to the federal government and the 2.5% penalty to the state of California that's triggered every time the federal penalty is triggered is not present. However, you do pay income taxes on the money. So if you make, you know, 50 grand a year at your job, you cash out 50 grand from a quadro and, you know, put that money in your bank account, then in that year, as far as the IRS is concerned, you've made $100,000 in income and you're going to pay income taxes on $100,000. So that's important to note. The last thing I'd point out is on these sort of just surface level tips with regard to these types of accounts is you can do side agreements with the ex. So, you know, sometimes there are bills to pay on both sides and the only available asset is the 401k, and the account holder is under 59.5. So a side agreement, for example, is, you know, say husband is the account holder, but and husband is, you know, obligated to pay off debt pursuant to the divorce decree. Husband can go to ex-wife and say, hey, ex-wife, you know, I'm going to give you your 50% of this account, but I also want to give you my 50% of this account. And then if you could, you could cash out my portion and give it back to me, I'm going to use those funds to pay off that credit card bill that I was obligated to pay off. Because if I give the money to you first, and then you turn around and give some back to me, I don't have to pay penalties. So that, you know, very, you know, sort of punitive penalty that you got to pay to the federal government and state of California is waived, if you will, for the IRS. And that's a side agreement that you can do. The only issue with that is if you do it, the taxes are going to flow to the non-account holder. So you got to have some sort of adjustment for taxes if you're going to have that side agreement, because the non-employee spouse is going to be taxed all of that money on the distribution, and you can't really adjust taxes back to the account holder. The other thing is you don't want to do this if there's not some level of trust between the parties, because the ex can obviously run off with the money and you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, because there's no way in the quadro to direct the payment to go to the account holder. It's got to go to the non-account holder first and then transferred back to the account holder. You can specify that the non-account holder's mailing address is the account holder's address and the check will be mailed there. And then the parties can meet up and the non-account holder can sign off on the back of the check. And then the account holder can sort of, you know, deposit that check into their account. If the bank allows for these check transfers, in other words, depositing a check that is not written out to you, but on the back of the check, it's signed over to you. This is a tip I give to, you know, family law attorneys when they make an arrangement with their client. Hey, you know, you're gonna, when we're done with this divorce, you know, you're gonna pay me out of the 401k account. The issue with that is at any time the non-account holder can call up the plan administrator and just change their mailing address. Okay, so you can make that agreement, and then if you have a sort of non-account holder alternate pay who wants to back out of the deal, well, they call up the plan administrator and they change their address, and then the check doesn't get sent to the attorney's office or the account holder's office, and then they run off with the money. So you got to be cautious with these sorts of agreements. So there's some complexities, but it may be an option to distribute funds not only to the alternate payee but to other parties involved, the account holder, the attorneys, to pay off debts.